Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your host. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
Before we get into what we're doing today, you might notice our sound is a little weird. Hopefully not as weird as last time it was weird.
On location.
Yes, this is technically a travel podcast.
Technically, that's... Not much travel happening
COVID, yeah. So we are actually in a little town. There's a national park about a little less than an hour from us.
A little more than an hour. Right around there.
Yeah. And so we decided to have a little weekend off in this national park, and it's beautiful. Of course, we live in the mountains, and it's even more beautiful here. So we've been having a nice relaxing weekend, and we just came from a very large Italian dinner, so I'm in a bit of a food coma.
If we seem low energy, it's because we have much pasta in our bellies.
And tiramisu.
Gigantic tiramisu.
It's like the size of my head.
So yeah.
That doesn't mean I didn't eat it.
Shout out to Red Rock Trattoria.
Yes, Trattoria.
Oh, so delicious.
Nice. We were talking, and it is probably the best Italian restaurant dinner that we've had outside of Italy.
I think the only one that comes close is to the one that we went to in Toronto, now that I'm thinking about
it. Yeah, that one was also really good. The little Italian couple that owned it.
Yeah.
Fair.
That, just like authentic Italian. Like, you have Italian fusion and all that. This was very authentic Italian.
And it felt.
It felt like we had a lingering dinner and it was,
yeah, it was
very
nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excellent. So, a bit of a food coma. Hopefully I don't stumble over too many words. But anyway, as we've said a lot this year, 2021 is the year of Marvel.
Ooh, I love Marvel.
And we're calling March the unofficial month of Marvel within the year of Marvel, just because we're talking about Marvel a lot this month. Yes. We've been chatting MCU kind of by the phases so far this year, but phase three is so big and so intense, we broke it up into two. So if you were listening last week, we had phase three, part one. This week, we're doing phase three, part two.
That's how that works.
How that works, yes. So phase three, part one, we had everything from Captain America Civil War to Black Panther. We didn't get dusted, so we're back to discuss the rest of the films from Phase 3, including the big ones there at the end.
Ooh, are they ever.
Yes, holy. Before we get to any of that, though, we have a bit of March Madness going on, and this week we were talking Dark Rides.
Mm.
We had a landslide winner on this one.
Yeah, and it's the right choice.
It's the right choice, and to be fair, these are four amazing attractions. Let's just put that right out there. So our four dark ride options, we went two from New Orleans Square and two from Fantasyland. The two from New Orleans Square are probably two of the best attractions in the park.
Yes.
But we went Pirates of the Caribbean and Haunted Mansion. And then we went Peter Pan's Flight and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Well,
the dark horse Mr. Toad came through in the... No.
No. Exactly what you'd expect to happen happened, and Pirates landslide.
Yeah.
We had one vote for Haunted Mansion, one Ooh. Vote for Pirates. I'm not Pirates. Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest were for Pirates. And a lot of them were like, ooh, I really like all of them, but...
Yeah, Pirates is far and away the best.
It is.
I think you said that Haunted Mansion might be close to your favorite rides.
It is.
It's tough, but Pirates.
I know. My three favorite rides in all of Disneyland are Splash Mountain, Haunted Mansion, and Pirates of the Caribbean. And two of those are in New Orleans Square.
And the third one is very near there.
And it's very near there, and it's changing.
Yeah, and it might be part of it very shortly.
Yes, so who knows about that?
Princess Tiana is from New Orleans.
That's right. So even if they keep it Critter Country, I'm expecting some New Orleans flair going on over there. So, yeah, excellent, excellent ones. Tough choice. We love Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
I think it's fun. It's just, where else are you going to find a kiddie ride that... goes down to hell. Like,
right.
It's weird and awesome that way.
So to recap, we had our best snack item was a Dole Whip. Best dark ride was Pirates of the Caribbean. We are going to go for entertainment next.
Oh.
Yeah. So check out our Instagram and I'll post it up on Facebook as well. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, we talk nerd thing.
Mm.
Yeah, do you have a nerd thing you're currently into this week?
Well, I'm going to be a little boring because my nerd thing is the same nerd thing that I did last week.
And it we'll also talk about in a little bit here.
And the same thing we'll talk about in a little bit. Yeah, it was the finale of WandaVision and we could not wait this week again.
Nope, we couldn't do it.
Stayed up.
Yeah.
1 a.m. our time.
Okay, so when you say we stayed up, I tried to stay up. Brandon was watching a hockey game that started at 8 p.m. and was like, well, it's going to go to like 11 anyway, so we can probably stay up. And I was sitting on the couch playing Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. And he came upstairs at like 8:30 or something, and I was sleeping on the couch. And he woke me up after midnight. So when he says we stayed up...
You were awake when it started.
Yes, I was awake
when it started. And when it finished. And through the whole thing. I don't think you fell asleep or anything.
I certainly did not fall asleep during it. No. Absolutely not. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's my nerd thing. Losing sleep for Marvel
is pretty nerdy.
Yeah, it's pretty nerdy.
Yeah. I saw a meme, and it was the scene from Endgame, actually, when Wanda is talking to Thanos and she says, you know, you took everything from me. Says, I don't even know who you are. And she's like, and instead it's Marvel fans as you took all my sleep from me.
Every Friday. Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty nerdy.
Yeah. You were just making me sound cooler and nerdier than I actually am by like, Krista stayed up. No, Krista
you woke
slept
up.
Up.
You,
I woke up.
You still forewent sleep. So,
yes, that's true. So I've got two nerd things. One thing is you surprised me with a present.
Oh.
Yay.
What a nice guy I am.
You're a nice guy. Yeah. Yes. I have a new Animal Crossing controller. Mm. It's Animal Crossing themed and it's really cute and it has a little Nook leaves all over it and Timmy and Tommy and okay, it's very cute anyway.
Pretty nerdy, yeah.
And then my other one is actually I want to give a shout out to it's NC_comic group on Instagram. If you check him out, he is doing personalized comic book style type of art.
Mm.
Yes. And a friend of mine and coworker, she actually got me his first personalized piece that he did was about me.
It's so awesome. Really cool. It's like poster version of your own comic book cover.
Yeah, it's a comic book cover. And he did it based on like pictures and a little bit of information and stuff, I guess she gave him. And that was my birthday present. And anyway, with COVID and everything, restrictions, it took a while to get to me. But I finally have it now and I'm super excited. And I haven't hung it yet because I want to frame it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to put it up. But it is me and I am the Alliterator.
That's your superhero name.
That's my superhero name. And it has our doggos make an appearance on the cover too, which is fantastic. Mm. So, yes, I really, really like it.
And I mean, alliteration is a big thing.
Alliteration, that's true.
In superheroes, yeah.
We heard Stan Lee did like go off for 10 minutes about it.
He loved his alliteration, so there you go.
If you check out his Instagram profile, you can actually see the Alliterator on there. So
nice.
Yeah, fantastic. Check it out. So those are my two pretty awesome nerd things. Also, before we get any further, typically we talk about what we're drinking at this point, but before we get that, you did mention WandaVision.
Sure.
So I just want to know, not going into any spoilers, not going into any details, because we are going to do next episode all WandaVision.
Yep, the spoiler zone will be off for this week, but on for next week.
Exactly. As far as WandaVision's concerned, you have a week to get caught up.
Yeah, get caught up. They put the postmortem on it for Monday.
Yeah.
But we're going to wait a whole week.
Yeah,
so.
just to be safe.
Extra safe.
Plus, then we get to finish talking MCU.
Yeah.
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 But initial gut reaction, what do you think?
So, just like thinking about the whole show as a whole thing, it's just excellent.
Yeah.
Anybody who's disappointed about it, it built things up in their mind on their own that the show wasn't going to do.
Yeah.
Like, there was talks of all these cameos and whatnot that were just absolute nonsense.
Like, they were reaching and the projections.
It comes a little bit from The Mandalorian.
With the Luke
thing recently and Baby Yoda originally. Like,
right.
They were waiting for that moment. And it did have that moment, like, midway through, I would say.
Uh-huh, fair.
But there wasn't any... Like, they were still waiting for another shoe to drop or something like that. As a whole, the show was great, and it had some great action, and it had amazing acting.
Holy crap, did it ever.
Like, Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany just acted their pants off.
If they don't win awards or get nominations or something for this, I mean, I know, we talked about it off air, and basically, your concern was just because of where it's hitting, you know, it's not really an awards season discussion.
Like, usually awards shows, they need, like... They nominate the things that are more recent. That's why you'll see all the Oscar bait films come out in around Christmas time. So
right, and the television shows are no different, right?
Television shows are similar,
the fall
and
the winter. But I hope because oh my god, good acting. And I know we're gonna talk about this lots next week, but just good acting.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Totally loved it. I had a very emotional reaction to this whole show, but especially the last episode. And yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it for right now. But just,
yep.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, no, it was excellent.
I'm like, and emotional.
The post-credit scenes, just stick around for those.
There's two. yes, there are two. Keep your butt in that seat until you know it's done.
Yeah. Yeah, all the credits.
And it's worth waiting till the end.
No, they're pretty good.
As all Marvel post-credit scenes are.
There's some misses
along
the way,
but
most of them are good.
It's part of it to watch those. Part of the experience.
These ones were good.
These ones were good.
Yeah.
I thought so. Okay, and then the last thing we talk about before we get to the news is what are we drinking tonight?
Since we're on location.
We're on location.
It's a little bit of a special evening.
Yes.
We're going to do a little something special tonight.
Okay. What are we doing tonight?
Well, we're going to have some Prosecco, but I haven't opened it yet.
Right.
So why don't we celebrate our little mini vacation and the end of Marvel Phase 3
The
end of WandaVision.
And lament the end of WandaVision.
Lament the end of WandaVision, but celebrate the start of Falcon and the Winter
Soldier. I know.
There's 2 weeks and that's coming out.
Well, actually, and this coming Friday, they have like the making of WandaVision.
And I'm super,
super watching that.
Yeah.
So that's a nice in between till we get into Falcon Winter Soldier.
They're literally having something
every
Friday.
Week. Yeah, you're not going to be missing on Marvel content, which is why 2021 is the year of Marvel.
Mm.
Okay, so you're going to open this bottle of Prosecco.
Okay, so we're going to broadcast this on Instagram Live, so...
If you're also... if you've also followed us on Instagram, maybe you've seen this.
Okay, here I go. I'm opening it up.
Okay, so we are now live on Instagram, too.
Okay, here it comes. I got to twist off the wire. Oh, don't... Okay.
So, as we're recording, here we go. Don't hit Krista with the cork.
you look very nervous. Here, I should aim it at you. Cheers.
Oh boy. So cheers for our Prosecco while we are
on location.
There we go. As we are filming our newest episode for Disney A, and we are talking Marvel Phase 3, the
part
big
two.
One, part 2.
Part
yes.
2, yeah. So this is very meta because we're recording a podcast and
yes.
doing Instagram Live. Much like WandaVision, it's very meta. Yes, that's how it works.
Very nice. Yes, very good. And so we've got some Prosecco here to celebrate.
Okay,
so we're going to cheers here.
Clink.
Cheers here. There we go. And then we're going to continue recording, and I'm going to turn off Instagram Live. So that was very meta.
Okay, that was fun.
That was fun.
And then the final thing that we do every week.
Yes.
It's time for the news.
Disney A News Update. Your turn for news today.
Yeah, and it's a biggie.
Is it ever?
This is the biggest news that Disney's had in literally a year.
Literally.
The last time there was this big of news is they were shutting down for a couple weeks for coronavirus.
Up to 6 weeks, Brandon.
Up to six up weeks. So the state of California went through a blueprint refresh.
Okay.
For their opening of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And it has now includes a plan to open theme parks as early as April 1st.
That's insane.
April 1st. That's like in 3 weeks.
There was conjecture about like, could they be open for summer? And then when they said maybe they can open earlier, people are like, oh my God, do you think like May long? Well, we call it May long.
Mm-hmm.
April 1st. That's insane.
Yeah. They have they still have the tiers,
mm-hmm.
but they're pushing the theme parks into the red tier, which is like the fourth highest one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And in the red tier, they will be allowed to open at 15% capacity with all the protocols, the masks and sanitization stations and all that going on.
Distancing,
mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera.
We've seen the Disney parks do excellent at this in other places, though.
Well, Florida is a gong show, but Disney World is doing just fine.
Disney World's probably the safest place in Florida, quite frankly.
Disney World is probably safer than like our local grocery stores.
Yeah, probably. Because they're so conscientious about that.
Mm-hmm. This Prosecco is delicious,
by the way. It is. It really is. Good job opening it and not hitting the cork at me.
I was so tempted. But yeah, no, that's really good news. Mm-hmm. Things are starting to get going. Right? And
Super exciting.
The States is pushing forward with their vaccines, and we just got the fourth one approved in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
The Johnson & Johnson one, which is a single shot.
Yeah, which is also pretty crazy.
Which is kind of cool. But, yeah. So, who knows? This time next year, we might be planning our next trip to Disneyland.
I like our next trip is how you said that. That was pretty sweet.
Well, our... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and who knows? Who knows for those of us coming from out of country, of course.
Yeah, so this is actually, I found interesting, is limited to California residents only.
Yes, because they don't want travel between states.
They don't want travel between states or anything like that. So they're still being quite responsible.
Yeah, and then they said as things get better, they will, you know, increase capacity and loosen restrictions further.
Yeah,
and
that's as part of the tier system, like when it drops down to the yellow tier or whatever, it more capacity is allowed.
That's the next blueprint or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's incredibly exciting. Oh my goodness. So you have a touch of Disney coming. That's going to be interesting, coinciding things. Of course, we don't know what date Disneyland is going to open. We just know that it's projected that as early as April 1st it can open. I'm looking forward to things like announcements and details and stuff like that. I am sure they will be forthcoming. I think Disneyland is like ready to go as soon as they get the thumbs up.
Well, like you said, that there was reports of them testing the trains already.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Running the horses up and like walking the horses up and down Main Street. Of course, they've been like running the attractions the whole time and stuff, but this is the first time they saw, well, that people were reporting anyway, seeing the trains going in. Like there was a lot more activity. Mm. Where you can see they're getting ready.
They'll be ready to go as soon as it's like feasibly safe to go.
So then we're wondering how that runs into A Touch of Disney. Because I think a booth has shown up for A Touch of Disney. You have that's a ticketed event. Like we don't know, are they going to open a Disneyland and not California Adventure?
We talked about it a bit. I think they'll run Touch of Disney for the dates that they have. And they might open Disneyland at the same time. Touch of Disney might actually help because they're going to have such a limited capacity at Disneyland and there's going to be such a demand. It's going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah, and they haven't announced how they're going to deal with that.
No, Disney hasn't said anything. No. This is all from the state.
They said they are looking forward to making an announcement, but the state has said as early as April 1st, if things are, you know, the projections and everything stay in line for as far as numbers go.
Yeah,
that's what that looks like.
Like extrapolating the current numbers look like they're going to be in the red tier by next week.
Yes.
So it should be fine by April, barring any like crazy stuff with the new variants and all that. Yeah. But yes, we'll see how Disney handles it. It'll probably be some sort of reservation system.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because you don't want
California residents.
You don't want people standing in line.
Heavens no. Yeah. So that's super exciting.
But yeah, it's the first bit of good news we've had in a while.
I'm gonna be like glued to YouTube watching our Disneyland YouTubers check this out, just living vicariously through them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we are wont to do.
Yes, it's true. It's so true. I actually have a little bit of news I wanted to throw in there as well. It's not near as exciting as Disneyland opening though.
Yeah.
There is a new mural in Downtown Disney for Raya and the Last Dragon.
Ah.
Because, of course, that was just released on Friday.
Just released on Friday on Disney Plus Premiere.
Premiere.
So you have to pay extra, just like Mulan originally.
Yeah.
And it looks really good.
It looks incredibly good. It's getting all kinds of awesome reviews.
There's
a new mural up celebrating that in Downtown Disney. And I could only think of the mural they did for Black Panther.
Oh.
When
that
he
one,
passed away.
That one, speaking of making you tear up, man, was amazing.
Yeah. I had to like scroll fast past it every time. I'd be like sitting there crying. And
And I'm not one to tear up much, but that one got me.
So I don't know if it's the same artist or anything like that, but pretty cool. Yeah, and that looks like an awesome movie, by the way.
It looks really fun and the animation is gorgeous.
Oh, beautiful.
Absolutely
if you've
gorgeous.
Seen it, hey, drop us a line on any of our social media accounts and let us know what you think.
We
are humming and hawing.
Should we pay the extra money?
Yeah. Is it worth it?
Yeah. I'm starting to lean towards yes.
Yes.
Like, I'm patient, but like it looks so good.
We always said that if a Black Widow went to Disney Plus Premiere, we would pay.
I would be buying that first day.
We didn't even consider Mulan. No. When we watched it, we thought Mulan was good, but we were glad we hadn't paid for it. We're pretty tempted with Ray and the Last Dragon.
It looks pretty
right now.
Good.
Originally, we were like, no, and now the more and more we see, we're like, oh, the animation's so beautiful.
And like, you think about how much it costs for movie tickets if you went to the theater. It's not that much more than
that. It's not crazy.
And you can watch it multiple times and you comfort from your home. So it's not like a crazy ask, but...
Well, let us know what you think. Should we do it? Mm-hmm. Should we take the plunge, pay the money? Awesome. Good news. Big news.
Big news. Yes. Oh, okay.
All kinds of thumbs up. Okay.
There was an idea to bring together a couple of regular podcasters to see if they could talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We call it the Disney A Initiative.
All right, so before we start, I thought I would run through just like a quick review of everything that was in Phase 3, including the ones we talked about last week, but then we're only going to focus on the last part of Phase 3. So all of Phase 3, it starts with Captain America Civil War in 2016. Then we had Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Avengers Endgame, and Spider-Man Far From Home.
That's a lot of movies.
That's so many
movies.
No
wonder we broke it up into two parts.
And in case you're wondering, that's in 3 years. So the first one, like I said, came out in 2016 in May. The last one came out in July of 2019.
Because that was a good 3 years to be a Marvel fan.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, we watched a lot of movies in theaters back. Remember movies in theaters?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, it's
crazy. What good times.
Good times, yeah.
Yeah.
So last time we talked all the way from, like I said at the top of the show, from Captain America Civil War to Black Panther. Today, because we wanted to stop right before we got to Infinity War, which is where we're going to start today. Oh boy. Okay. So first of all, are you ready to talk about this? This is insane.
Yeah. I still remember we're going to see this movie in theaters.
Yep. We were at...
Well, we were at Calgary Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, yeah. I have that written down here.
And we didn't have tickets until Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So we had gone to Comic-Con on Friday and Saturday, and then Saturday evening we went.
Yeah.
And the thing I remember about Comic-Con is one of the presenters during Comic-Con on Saturday was making a joke about people who hadn't seen Infinity War yet, and no spoilers and all that. And
okay, before we say anything here, be forewarned, we're talking serious spoilers.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
okay,
now
go ahead.
that's a given. Like, if you haven't seen these movies, well, that's your fault.
Yeah.
This happened a while ago. So we were sitting in this panel, and the host of the panel who was talking to somebody was like, no spoilers for the Infinity War.
Yeah.
Except Spider-Man dies. Ha 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 ha.
And he hadn't.
And there was an audible gasp. Because, of course, some people in there had seen it.
Yeah, and we're talking like there were hundreds and hundreds of people in this auditorium. And then when the gasp happened, his eyes got huge and his mouth dropped.
He was like, well, I haven't seen it. I was just joking.
And the one thing, the conjecture going into this was that we knew people were going to die. No one expected Spider-Man to die.
Well, because they had already announced the next
Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, like they'd already shot and filmed and everything.
Everyone expected Iron Man to die and Spider-Man to live.
Yeah.
And...
wow.
Huge audible gasp. Like, you could have heard a pin drop in that auditorium of, like, hundreds and hundreds of people. The fear and abject horror on his face.
Yes, that was very interesting. So Infinity War itself.
This movie comes out in 2018 in the spring, April 27th, and everything is leading to this.
Like, they've been teasing this movie basically since the first Avengers.
100%.
When Thanos appears, just grinning at the camera in the credits of the first Avengers movie.
I'll do it myself.
No, that wasn't that.
Really?
No, he was just sitting in his little chair and he gives a little grin.
Oh.
And he looks more like Grimace than... and you looked at me and you're like, who the heck is that? And I was like, I should probably know that, but I don't.
You're like, angry Grimace?
Yeah, I didn't even know who Thanos was back then, because I'm not that big into comics. Like,
right, okay.
That was the first time you saw Thanos.
Right.
And then since then, they were kind of like teasing the Infinity Stones
and
all the movies.
Yeah, they'd show up, and they were like this tenuous thread that connected things.
And Guardians of the Galaxy had a lot of exposition on the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
That
was
the big one. But and they had them planted all throughout these different movies. And then they all came together for this big mass, like the biggest massive superhero movie.
In what a way they did.
And even 10 years ago when they were making Iron Man, like they thought just making an Avengers film was pie in the sky.
Mm-hmm. So it's set 2 years after the events of Captain America Civil War. And I remember we talked last time about the airport fight scene in Civil War being this insane, huge fight scene. But like you said, when they did Avengers, that was this insane film. All these different pieces from all these different movies are now coming together.
Like physical embodiments of these different movies, plot lines even. Like most of these are major parts of those movies' plot lines, and then they become like little pieces of jewelry on.
Yeah, they're shiny.
It works really well to bring these characters together. You have Thor recovering from the post-credit scene
in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. And it works as this giant ensemble thing because they do have separate plot lines that are all good happening at the same time. So you can cut to Thor trying to find his new hammer.
Yep.
And you can cut to Iron Man and Spider-Man doing space stuff like that really old movie Aliens.
That really old movie. Oh, we got Guardians of the Galaxy showing up in this one. And oh my goodness, yeah.
Yeah,
it really works.
And Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy work so well together that they're going to be together again.
Yeah, they're very similar tone, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, you have the Avengers all coming back together after Civil War, and that's a big deal. Banner has been gone that whole time, basically.
Yes.
Well, yeah, he's been gone since Ultron.
And then,
of course, Ragnarok. But I mean, as far as part of the Avengers, he's been gone from them this whole time.
Yes. So, and then he gets ported back to Earth, and then they have the whole Earth plot line where they're trying to save Earth.
Yes, and he's the one who brings in Doctor Strange and Wong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he kind of lands on them.
He it's like 3 feet from them. I mean, it's totally...
It was a good shot.
It was a good,
Heimdall has good aim.
Right?
I would not want to play him in darts.
No. So also the other thing that... So you have these other pieces getting brought in now.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I really thought was interesting is... the attention to detail is awesome. I made a note that Rhodes, they talk about the Sokovia Accords, and Rhodes says he regrets signing them, and he cuts off the transmission with Thaddeus Ross, showing he chooses his friends over his military career and just following orders. So just, it's another one of those things where Marvel is like, we're gonna give you a crazy action movie. Oh, but also let's talk about, like, I don't know, morality and, like, the futility of man's attempt to control superheroes that they try and do again and again. And it's like, but we're gonna touch on that. But also, you know, crazy action.
Yeah.
Also that. Basically, I said, humanity really sucks at feeling inferior. Is kind of the gist here.
Well, I mean, so if superheroes existed in real life, they'd be scary as heck.
Yeah.
So I don't blame the theory of a Sokovian Accords or whatever. It's just the government people are, of course, like mustache twirling baddies. So
yes, it's true.
It doesn't work that way
either.
It
doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work when. But what I did like here is you had this disparity between them. But at the end of the day, you, like, even from the events of Civil War, you knew when, like, bad stuff was going down, they were coming back together. I mean, that was the whole point behind Cap giving Tony the phone.
Yes.
The really old phone.
Which,
and then it happens.
Yes. And so they have all these tensions and they come back together. And of course, I guess what we haven't talked about is like Loki actually legitimately dies.
It's up there for me, because I wanted to talk about Thor.
Yeah, okay, let's do that right now.
Okay, so Thor Ragnarok, we end with the end credit scene. Is we have this happy fun movie, super exciting, and then we have the end credit scene, and it's like, haha, just kidding.
I mean, it's happy and fun, but like Asgard gets wiped out.
Yeah, well, until that part. Yeah. But I mean, like, it's a more light tone to that movie.
Yes,
right. And then you can tell the tone changes completely in that end credit scene when Thanos...
And that speaks maybe to the importance of score, because the score, like, completely drops out there. And,
as soon as that starts, it's just... Yeah.
You know something bad is happening.
Picking through the Asgardians who are left on the ship and everything like that. And then we go directly into the opening scene of Infinity War. And I remember sitting there watching it, and I think I audibly gasped with what was going on, because, I mean, you have people, like, legitimately dying, including Loki, and that scene is, like, crazy. First of all, Thanos kicks Hulk's butt.
Yeah, like...
And Thor's, quite frankly.
Well, it's a throwback to the original Avengers film, and it's like, but we have a Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And Thanos is like, great.
Neat.
Don't care.
Not even. Yeah. And in those last moments when Hulk gets sent to Earth there, and Thor is, you know, being held and everything, Loki ends up, you know, he has this moment where he does try and save himself, but he's watching Thor be, like, tortured and almost killed. And at the end of the day, he picks his brother over himself, and he goes to, wants to save his brother. He tries to trick Thanos, does not work out great for him. And they make a point to say again and again and again that Loki has died now.
Mm-hmm. Well, because...
And for the he's actual...
quote-unquote died a couple times.
Yeah, and... he's really died. Yeah. He's really, really died. And there, so there were two moments in this movie that were so harsh and final that I audibly gasped. And this... Well, three, including the end. And this was one of them. And it was before the title card flashed.
Yeah. No.
I was just like, oh my God.
The opening sequence with Thor and Loki and Heimdall and Hulk was just the most incredible cold open to a movie I've ever seen.
It was like, crazy.
Like, wow.
So make sure you're in the right movie here, people.
Thanos is serious business, yeah. And we're in for a time.
We're in for a serious time, because Hulk just can't show up and, like, knock everyone around.
Mm.
Not that that's awesome when he... It's totally awesome when he does that, but, like, we're not getting out of it this easily.
Mm.
Thor is a literal god, and Thanos is, like, neat, I guess. I'm gonna crush you now.
Yeah, so... That was big, and then things happen, and like I say, there's these different plot points, and Thor's off on his weapon quest, and the Earth people are trying to defend Earth, and you got Spider-Man and Iron Man trying to do stuff in space, and then they all come together in Wakanda, basically. Iron Man and Spider-Man are still...
And with the Guardians.
And the Guardians are on Titan.
Yes.
So they have their big showdown. Oh, and Doctor Strange.
And Doctor Strange
as well. So, man, there's a lot of stuff happening
in
this
God.
Movie.
Oh my God.
Holy cow.
Okay, before we get there, though, we're talking about them all coming together. So we see how they were separate. We had the separate groups. You know, one kind of Cap was the leader, and then the other one, Iron Man, was the leader, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they come
together. Like feeding off of Civil War. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. So we have that they are right away, they're after Vision. Because, of course, Vision has the Mind Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the most devastating moments for me has to do with Vision and their want of the Mind Stone. So I just needed to set that up. Then.
Yep.
So they've been concerned this whole time, and they're like, what do? We go to Wakanda. That's the big reason they go to Wakanda.
Yeah, I mean, Wakanda is the safest place on Earth because they have the most technology, and they have a big army, and they're all about fighting. And
100%.
Yeah.
And they need to figure something out to do with Vision here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got to get the Mind Stone.
They know that Thanos is after the Infinity Stones, and he's got the last one.
Yeah. So you have that going on, while you have the space thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then and you have Thor. He's going and he's getting his hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Except, not it ends up not being a hammer. He ends up getting.
He's got a hammer on the back.
That's true. But and Thor's an also really cool. His interactions with Guardians of the Galaxy are awesome. But he's dealing with some serious grief here, right? I love when Rocket Raccoon's like, okay, time to be the captain. And he's like, I gotta listen to the problems now, right? And he's dealing with he's trying to work through some serious stuff.
He just saw his brother off, and like most of his race, and his good buddy Heimdall.
Oh, how about his father died right before that?
His father died right before that.
And let's not mention his sister being all
his sister's all crazy.
Yeah.
And dead as well. He's got problems.
He's got problems, and to this point he's been able to handle everything, and it's just like he is at the point where like it's all or nothing, do or die. Yeah. And so he gets his axe, but so he has his storyline going.
Mm-hmm.
You have on Titan, which we find out was actually Thanos's home planet.
He's a Titan.
Because he's a Titan, that makes sense. you have Iron Man and Doctor Strange and Spider-Man, and then the rest of the Guardians. Thanos has disappeared with Gamora. When Thanos comes back, he does not come back with Gamora. Because
the Weird Stone.
Because the Weird Stone.
Needs this little sacrifice.
Yep.
And so, we have a pretty emotional scene there.
Because Thanos loves one thing in the world. And it's Gamora. Mm-hmm. In order to get the Soul Stone, you have to sacrifice what you love the most.
I can't get over how much they packed into this movie. It's crazy.
He throws Gamora off a freaking cliff.
Yep.
And there's like nothing ceremonious about it. The same thing with Loki's death. There's nothing ceremonious about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like fodder, basically, which is devastating. I know when that happened, I think my mouth dropped open as well. Same as it did with Loki, right? When we have the scene with Thanos explaining his plan. First of all, we're talking the most about this movie than of any of them. Let's just say that, right?
Well, I mean, there's... there's the most to talk about this movie for sure. Yeah.
Because Endgame wraps up this movie, which would be the next big one. Like, so after this movie came out, a lot of people were like, you know, Thanos kind of has a point. He's just kind of psycho about how he goes about it.
He goes about it in the wrong way, but like he has legitimate reasons for what his motivations are, which makes him a good villain, right?
Okay, so up until this point is what I want to talk to you about. Marvel has not been great with villains. You occasionally have a good one.
We keep saying that, but they haven't been that bad.
They haven't been that bad. But you know what it is? Is their other characters are so amazing.
Yeah.
That you have high expectations.
The heroes are really good. Yeah. And they often kill off the villains, which is troublesome for a development standpoint, right?
Yeah. But here, I think Thanos is an amazing villain.
No, Thanos is great. He's
fantastic.
He's up there with like Darth Vader level.
He's a fantastic villain. He actually wants to save people. He decides to go about saving people by killing
other people.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. We're going to save, you know, the universe by killing half of its inhabitants. So
problematic.
Yeah. So that's neat. Yeah. The only ones who are not involved in this is we don't have Scott Lang, we don't have Hawkeye. Other than that, we have literally everyone else coming together in this big battle in Wakanda is most of it, like the big one. Because that's where Thanos ends up going. So Thanos...
To get Vision.
Yeah. So Thanos leaves everyone else hanging out on Titan. Thor and Rocket, Raccoon, and Groot was with them.
Nidavellir.
I will not say that correctly.
No. It's where the dwarves are from.
Right.
Which in Marvel Universe, apparently dwarves are giants.
Apparently, that's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's where they get the
Stormbreaker,
and I think that was where Mew Mew was made.
I think
well.
So. I think they go into that. Yeah. So anyway, that's a really cool scene.
And the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, that's true. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So that's going on, and then Thanos shows up in Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, shout out to Shuri who is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they show up with Vision, she's like, why didn't you just do that? Mm-hmm. And the 15-year-old girl can figure out how to separate Vision from the Mind Stone. However, of course, she runs out of time. Things aren't going well. But then Thor shows up with Stormbreaker.
And starts kicking butt.
She's kicking serious butt. Now all of a sudden things are going great. And Shuri's up there in her lab and she's separating Vision from Mind Stone, and Wanda's right there because they have a deal. And the deal is that if Thanos is too close and everything, then Wanda will destroy the Mind Stone, thereby killing Vision. And she's the only one strong enough to do it.
Mm-hmm. She has Infinity Stone powers.
She
herself.
Has Infinity Stone powers, exactly. So
Mind Stone specifically, actually.
Yeah, it is true. That's true. So that, sucks as a deal. Kind of like Gamora and Peter's deal that, you know, if
Star-Lord.
Come on, man. That if Thanos got her, that he'd kill her. Of course, that doesn't really work out when they go to do that. So anyway, you have a lot of sacrifice going on here is my point.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then Thanos shows up and all of the things are going great start to not go great anymore. So they flee the lab. Thanos is just, you know, obliterating everyone in his path. You have all of them lose. Basically, they get they take turns getting their butts kicked.
That's the thing. So the third act in this movie is just basically the opposite of what you see in superhero movies normally.
Exactly.
It's the villain just winning.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Captain America, you know, he pauses him for a little bit, and then Thanos looks at him and basically brushes him aside. You have he knocks Thor over like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I will say it again and again and again. Wanda is the strongest MCU character, physical strength as anything else.
They've confirmed that again and again. Yeah.
You would not believe the amount of times I've had people try and argue this with me.
It's not, yeah.
Thanos sees Vision and Wanda is like, it's time. She starts trying to, she's devastated about it. She starts trying to destroy the Mind Stone with one hand. Love of her life, no less.
Mm.
This has taken a whole lot of power, Infinity Stone power. Thanos is coming. She's holding him off rather successfully.
And he's got, what, 4, 5 Infinity Stones
with her other hand, one hand. And she does it. She holds him off. She destroys Vision's Mind Stone. Except, oh, wait.
He's got the Time Stone.
Which, versus time.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
There is the snap, right? You have Thor.
So, let's talk about the snap.
Okay.
It's like a figure of speech. Like, with the snap of his fingers, basically, he can do this. Like, he doesn't physically, technically have to snap, I don't think, was the idea. But it's a very famous comic book panel. Where he, snaps.
Oh, okay.
And it's, you should look it up online. It's actually quite beautiful art with the snap and destroying half the universe. And seeing that in live action was probably a pretty big deal for a lot of people as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, so this devastated me. I was emotional after Loki. I was emotional after Gamora. Got ahead of myself there.
Yes, that's not till next.
That's later. Yeah. Okay. But we have the snap.
Well, and you have Thor, and he comes in on his cavalry, and he's got his big powers, and he stabs Thanos, and you're like, yeah, we're gonna win.
Yep.
And Thanos is like, no, you should have gone for the head.
Should have gone for the. And what a like freaking sassy little response there. And then looks at him, and as he's looking at him, when Thor thinks he's won after he's just lost his father and his like entire civilization and his home and his brother, he's like, I did something. It was worth it.
Nope.
Thor and Thanos snaps his fingers. And then everything is looking around. He starts screaming, what did you do? What did you do? And it is the silence of that.
So again, the score cuts out completely. And you just have quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And then
heartbreak. Absolute heartbreak. So the ones that I distinctly remember, I didn't even look up the scene because, first of all, why would I put myself through that again? The core original ones all live from the first Avengers movie. It seemed so random. Some live, some die. You have, it's absolute heartbreak throughout all the silent people or characters watching loved ones dust or not dust or be like lost or whatever. Rocket Raccoon watching Groot. My God. The ones searching through the trees and they can't like find, they're like calling for certain ones and you can't find them. Wanda, as she's like crying over Vision's dead body is dusted. And then it, Spider-Man.
Yeah, Tom Holland apparently was given a note of, like, saying he didn't want to go, and he, like, pulled that whole performance out.
My God. From that.
And people, like, fan theories are like, so his spider sense...
Yeah, that's what I've always heard. His spidey sense was tingling.
He can tell that something bad was happening, so that's why he had such a long death scene, which I buy into.
I totally buy.
I think that works perfectly.
Like, everyone else, you know, it's kind of like, they're looking at themselves and being like, what is happening? Yeah. Or, I feel funny, and then it happens. Whereas, he felt it coming before he started to dust. So, Tony Stark's holding him, he looks at him, he says, it's okay. It's okay. Oh my God. I'm going to cry just thinking about that scene. My God. But it's there was the looking through the trees and them calling out names and they can't find them. Like, kept calling out for Bucky and oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. So, Josh Brolin as Thanos, absolutely praised for his role in this. Basically, everyone was praised for the role.
Him to do that acting in like a mocap suit.
Is insane.
Is crazy. Yeah.
It's insane. I mentioned here, did Thanos kill Thought Me? That came up after this. Did you ever check that out? Did Thanos kill you?
I did it a couple times, so...
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I did it twice, and I lived both times. So I'm like, I'm not trying it a third time. I'm not tempting fate.
So, you want to hear something really funny? There was actually a subreddit.
I have that. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so on Reddit, which is like a website that has like forums or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm
assuming if you're listening to a nerd podcast, you probably know what Reddit is. But anyway.
They had a subreddit on there, and it was... I think it was R. Thanos did nothing wrong.
Thanos did nothing wrong.
And they actually did their own snap where 50% of the users were banned.
So right before they elected to do this, the Russo brothers joined and so did Brolin.
Nice. Yep. Okay, that's cool.
And then Brolin posted a video of him snapping.
Oh, he did the snap. I did see that video. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he did the snap. And then they banned users for 5 years.
Yep. And they started a new subreddit that was called the Soul Stone. I didn't know it was 5 years. I thought it was only a few months. That's or like a few hours or something. That's crazy.
Well, they just recently got unbanned.
That's insane.
So yeah, it was like 5 years. Well, maybe not quite 5 years, but,
but yeah. So they were in the Soul Stone.
Awesome. I think that's hilarious.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway,
this was incredible, and I still remember the poor kid that was sitting beside us, and the second time we watched it, and him just bawling because
and being like exclaiming like no.
Because Spider-Man died.
Yeah, he was like there in a Spider-Man hoodie or t-shirt or something. And after the movie, and we were trying really hard not to like make eye contact, this kid was distraught. And his dad's like talking him down after the movie. They're sitting there. He's like, it's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
That doesn't mean he's like, no.
he's probably going to come back. It's okay.
No one stays dead in a comic book.
Yeah. And then the first time we saw it, just like walking out of there and everyone was dead silent.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing about this movie is Thanos is actually the hero of Infinity War.
Yeah.
Like, he may be the villain, but it's like a hero's journey for him.
Yeah.
So
the other thing that is amazing is like the flashback scenes with Gamora, I found. Because, and at the end when she says, right after she snaps, and she says, did you do it? And, yep. What did it cost? And he says, everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's some depth to this villain. We should have done the entire episode just on Infinity War.
Probably, apparently. Yeah.
Let's tear through the other ones.
Okay.
Okay, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Basically, we're back to the aftermath of Captain America Civil War. It's a lighter one after the intensity of Infinity War. I remember just being like, what the heck are they going to do with this?
Palate cleanser. Yeah.
It's totally what it is. He spends 2 years under house arrest. This is after Civil War. Entertaining himself and learning close-up magic.
Which will come in importance for WandaVision.
Yes, that's true.
Flourish.
We are introduced to the FBI agent, Jimmy Woo, who will come in importance for WandaVision.
Jimmy Woo Appreciation Club right here.
Yeah, no kidding. Who doesn't like Jimmy Woo? Awesome. He's so flourish. From now on, I'm just saying that all the time. Generally, the characters and actors were favorably received. People liked the fun, lighthearted, breezy, and in more than one review, it was called a palate cleanser.
Oh, definitely.
It was a bit of character development for Scott Lang, some focus for the Wasp. There were mixed reviews about the effectiveness on looking at her as a hero, because they often compared, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp, like the two superheroes. But seeing them work together was very effective. Some people thought it was like a gimmick.
Ah, I actually liked this quite a bit.
I did too. And then, of course, the end credit scene ties back to the snap.
Yes, it does. And Evangeline Lilly in this is great.
You know what? I think, you know what works? I think everyone in this film has awesome chemistry. Like, they're just fun to watch. And I like Evangeline Lilly, first of all.
I think she does a fantastic job.
So you really liked her in this?
Yeah, no, I think they should have had the Wasp in the first Ant-Man, like, more time with her. I think she was great.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
This was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a palate cleanser. It was exactly what it says it did. Then we have Captain Marvel, another, like, in-between.
And this is more set up because the post-credit scene of Infinity War had her logo in it.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh my god, it's Captain Marvel.
So Maria Hill and Nick Fury, and that was a great scene with Nick Fury, by the way.
Very meta.
Yeah, you have them is it New York where they're at? Anyway, they're in a city, and she gets dusted, and he sees what's happening, and he goes to make a little on a pager.
Yeah,
I think.
He's got a pager.
Yeah, and he goes to make a call, and he looks at his hand, and he starts getting dusted, and he says,
mother.
And is dusted. Because it's Samuel L. Jackson. Is that what you were thinking was so meta?
That was meta because, yeah, it's Samuel L. Jackson. He's known for saying mother.
Yeah, a lot of F-bombs going on there. Yeah. And yeah, it was funny. It was coming, and then nope. And then at the, of course, you see that it has called this particular sign, which if you know was the...
And so I had to, that one I knew. I was like, that's Captain Marvel's logo.
Yep.
And yeah, so then we get to see young Nick Fury in Captain Marvel.
So this one takes place in 1995, which is like not a time frame we've seen so far in the MCU.
Time we were very intimately familiar with.
Yes, that's true.
Being 85 babies. 85, like 95 is right in our
perfect
wheelhouse.
Perfect. Yeah. That's one of my favorite things about this was, oh my god, 90s nostalgia coming out the ears. They might have gone a little heavy handed.
They
must.
They went over the
top,
but that's okay.
85 baby soul. I enjoyed that a little bit.
Yep.
Carol Danvers becomes one of the universe's most powerful heroes. I will still argue for Wanda day and night, but I will accept the argument for Captain Marvel being strong.
She's got her power from an Infinity Stone as well.
Exactly.
And she's got the whole cosmic thing going on.
Yes. The film received generally positive reviews from critics with praise for the action scenes, visual effects, music score, the performance of the cast, particularly Larson. People liked what she did with it.
Most people.
Some said the casting did more than the story itself. However, this was the big one. There were problems with initial reactions online and trolls who had a huge problem with the quote-unquote feminism of the film because she was a strong superhero.
Yes, and they have the line about why don't you smile more and stuff like that.
I don't know if you can hear me rolling my eyes.
And yeah, they had some feminist undertones to it, and they should.
Of course.
Like, who cares?
You have a badass female superhero. You think you're not going to address those things?
Jude Law
was true.
Was an interesting villain.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's fine.
Yeah, he was fine. I don't think he was as strong as Larson was as far as, you know, doing it, but I think he had a good time.
Yeah, it was, you know, this movie was fine. I liked it. It set up some stuff.
Yeah. It gave us Captain Marvel, who's like a cool character and stuff like that. It was fine. This was a solid superhero movie. Mm-hmm. Full stop.
It's an origin story. Yeah. So we've moved past origin stories, might be the problem.
Yeah. Now the other cool thing though is we do get introduced to Monica Rambeau again with the WandaVision connections.
Well, yeah, phase three was all setting up WandaVision.
You bet.
That was its only purpose, not
definitely nothing else.
Not the whole Infinity Stones.
Yeah. Okay, so that takes us... We have two movies left. One we're going to go through much quicker, and it is not the next one. So the next one is Endgame.
Yes.
Starts 23 days after Infinity War ends. Of course, it connects Carol Danvers and to the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with the survivors being focused on locating Thanos to reverse the snap. When they do find him, they found he's already destroyed the stone. So Thor decapitates him.
Should have gone for the head. He learned his lesson.
That's what he says. Now, the devastation. There is some acting being done here.
Mm-hmm.
He's devastated. He's like, this is irreversible and there's nothing else I can do. Fine, I'll decapitate you. And he does.
Mm-hmm.
Then it jumps 5 years. Scott Lang, at this point, he escapes Quantum Realm, where we saw him being stuck and Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he says the 5 years took 5 hours. So the Quantum Realm, then he hypothesizes, could allow time travel. They make fun of it, though. They're like, yeah, we know time travel sounds ridiculous. And they start like making jokes about Back to the Future and everything. Mm-hmm. What I liked about this was the different characters looking at how they deal with the effects of the snap.
Yeah, and it's a big examination of grief, which, again, WandaVision continues. But
oh, good line. Oh, my God. Okay, so Captain America's support group. Right?
Yeah.
There'd be support groups for this.
Oh, there would have to be, yeah.
Thor's dealing with depression. So I'm going to jump ahead in the movie a little bit here. But you see him and it's kind of funny because he's sitting there and he's got serious Big Lebowski vibes and stuff like that. And
they only semi-play it for comedy.
Yeah.
But like the characters like accept him as this is how he's...
Yeah, this is still Thor. Mm-hmm. This is where he's at right now. When at the end, when he calls Mjolnir, or is it Stormbreaker that he calls? Anyway, and he grabs it and he's...
He calls Mjolnir when he goes back in time.
Okay. Yeah. And he's ecstatic because he says, I'm still worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh my God. Like, he didn't think he was worthy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy. He's literally dealing with depression, like PTSD.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all the characters
Of course they are, yeah. Except maybe Tony Stark.
He's got
stuff, especially with Spider-Man concerned.
But he's got it as good as he's had it because...
Yeah.
All his close loved ones are still fine.
Well, he decides this was a serious priority check for him, and he's like all Pepper Potts, and then eventually their daughter.
Yes, so he still has Pepper Potts, and then they have a daughter together, yeah. And so that's his focus. But when they come to him with the plan of the whole time heist and all that, he does remember Peter Parker.
Yeah, that's
his PTSD.
100%.
Because he was like a father figure to him and he knew that.
Yeah. And even when they, you know, he comes back and that's the first thing he says is we lost the kid. Leading up to this, you know, you had your little comments from Pepper being like, are we like engaged? Like, what's up? Mm. And when are we announcing this? And so on and so forth. And it was always kind of done for comedy. You can see that Tony Stark was like, there is no such thing as wasting any more time.
Yeah.
Like, there is no more time to waste.
Mm.
So he's been enjoying his family. It is Peter Parker who changes his mind, of course.
Mm.
And then, of course, you have Clint, who becomes a full-out vigilante.
Psychopath.
Absolute psychopath vigilante. And you have Natasha, who's trying her best to hold everything together, and it is not going well.
It's not going well.
But she's trying so hard.
She tries really hard.
Yeah, she tries really hard.
And she's had her own dealings with loss.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sure we're going to see more of that in her movie.
Yeah.
But,
so that's kind of what's going on there. They really focus on this idea that changing the past does not affect the present. Any changes create alternate realities, which is super important to Tony Stark because he says he has too much to lose in his current reality. There's connection between Stark, Banner, and Rocket Raccoon, which is more of that, please. That was awesome.
Yeah.
They're like, let's put all the smart guys in one room, see what happens.
I love Rocket. He's kind of crazy, but he's also hyper intelligent because he's like has all this genetic manipulation on him, and that he's a genius.
Yeah. So this works. They figure out time travel. They're going to go back, and they're going to fix things before they get to the point where Thanos shows up. You know the scene that killed me? Clint and Natasha and that stupid Soul Stone again.
Good old Soul Stone.
They both. First of all, the two of them, why did it have to be the two of them together? Because, of course, that's a good movie then. They have, they each think that they're each willing to sacrifice themselves to save the other person. And they, like, fight over who gets to live and who gets to die, but not, like they're trying to save the other person.
Yes.
And this is, like, the ultimate best friend. What did you say? They were, like, work spouses?
Yeah, they're work spouses.
Right?
For sure.
I just remember the time when they're like, yes, we know what it's going to be doing. And he looks at me, he's like, I have a feeling you're not thinking the same when I am. And they, you know, one tries to run off the cliff and gets pulled back and everything and again. And Natasha ends up winning that one by throwing herself off the cliff.
So here's an interesting question. Nebula is the one that sends them there. She knew about kind of what happened. So do you think she knew, or like, do you think she should have given them a heads up, or what? Like, Nebula knew that Thanos went to get the Soul Stone and didn't come back with Gamora. And then she was like, you two should go there.
I did not remember. Like, I knew she was kind of like, people need to go here, people need to go here, people. But I didn't know she like pointed at them and was like, you two need to go.
Yeah.
That is devastating. Probably could have given him a heads up, I think.
But, yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
I'm sure she doesn't know the details of it, because no one who came back and told her. But, yeah, he didn't come back with Gamora. Could I give Nebula the benefit of the doubt and assume that she just thought that he killed her along the way or something?
I think Nebula knew what was up and knew that they needed what they needed, and they might have had the strongest bond to actually get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you needed that.
You can't just have random people. Like, you have to have someone you love in order to do it. Like, you have to have that loss. That's 100% true. Wow, that's crazy. Is that what you think? That Nebula knew? And
I think so.
She just knew they had the strongest bond.
Well, they don't get a lot of character development of Nebula, but she's like supposed to be smart and like basically as good as Gamora at everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's upsetting, actually, thinking about that. We see different interactions with the MCU events to date, both seen and referenced.
Which is so awesome.
Banner wields the gauntlet because, he has the most resistance to gamma radiation and does reverse the disintegrations. So there's some things...
You didn't mention what events we get to see.
Oh, okay.
America's ass.
That is America's ass.
That is America's ass.
I could do this. I know.
I know.
All day. Yeah.
But yes. And then Bruce... Like, they get all the Infinity Stones from the past.
Oh, and the other thing, we're setting up Loki.
Yes, Loki escapes, alternate universe Loki. Yep. He escapes, and that's where Loki, TV show is going to come from, because our Loki's dead.
Dead. They made very sure we know he is dead. Totally dead this time.
But this other one's fine, so it's all good.
Any other interactions you want to talk about before we get to the big fights?
No, I think we should get to the Hulk doing
Let's
the snap.
Reverse the disintegrations. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So then we have the big fight scene, right? Thanos, alternate time frame Thanos shows up, because we have alternate time frame Gamora, and we have alternate. So he's looking for the Infinity Stones and is nowhere close to getting them at this point. I don't remember what year he's from.
2016.
Thank you.
And he follows them back through the wormhole, basically, or whatever. Yeah. He follows them back and he's like, so you guys have all the Infinity Stones.
This is convenient.
This is very convenient.
So he's going to take them, and he hears what's happened and stuff. There's two nebulas. And present day Nebula, who's like figured stuff out.
She's had character development.
Had some character development. She's able to convince back Gamora, who's since been thrown down a cliff, what's going on. And they defeat past Nebula, who is she's been like infiltrating and kind of like working through all that. Can we talk about some amazing moments in this fight scene? Because there are crazy ones. What's your favorite fight scene moment in this? Because there's some great ones. Can I tell you mine?
Yeah.
It's on your left.
Oh, you see that? So you have the Avengers that are like clinging on and they're fighting Thanos, and they get picked off again one by one.
Oh, and it's going so badly.
And they're getting picked off and they're getting picked off. And then Hulk, Bruce Banner, manages to snap and reverse the original snap. They're still fighting, but they're still losing. there's Captain America standing there alone.
Mm-hmm. And he can do this all day.
He's all bloody. His shield's busted.
Oh my God. Like snapped in half.
Talk about symbolism, right?
So this is a callback to the first Captain America movie where he's getting his butt kicked in that alley when mm-hmm. he's a wimp and he's just swaying and he's all bloody and he's standing there. And that's the first time he says, I can do this all day. And he's just standing there and he's basically swaying again. He's all bloody and he's just...
He
just gets up again. Perfect callback, yeah. It's fantastic. Okay.
He's ready to just die and all that. And then all of a sudden you see the Doctor Strange portal start to appear.
And you hear on your left, which was, of course, Falcon always says when they were running.
That's what Captain America said to Falcon when they were running around.
Yes, that's right. When they were running around. Yeah, because behind him and on his left, Falcon shows up. Mm. And then everybody shows up. And it's this moment... Everyone comes up, followed by the next best moment when he raises his hand, and
that's the winner. When he catches Mjolnir,
yeah, because he is worthy to wield it. Thor's like, I knew it.
That's so good. It's so good.
And he just catches it, and he's like, and he says, "Avengers, assemble!" And it's like this crazy moment. I'm pretty sure at least one of the times we saw this in theaters, the theater erupted in applause. Mm. Other moment that gets said again and again and again. In fact, in one of my Facebook groups of like geeky girls, mm-hmm. it was, what is the best geeky thing that you've seen on TV or movies in anything? And many said this one. And that is the girl moment.
The girl moment.
I have an issue with this, but go ahead.
I think it's cool to show the girls. It was a little cheesy as well.
I'm shaking my head because they made no sense being all together.
No.
It was pandering.
It was pandering. Like you can have, they had one, a smaller one in Infinity War in Wakanda.
Okay.
They had Black Widow, Aoki, and Scarlet Witch all together. And they were fighting some of the Thanos' children.
Okay.
And the female one specifically. Mm-hmm. Scarlet Witch comes down and saves them. Mm-hmm. But they have a girl moment, the three of them.
Right.
And that one worked well because it like made sense with the battle and everything.
Yeah.
Just putting all these girls together, and some of them like had never been superheroes even a little bit.
I said this in previous discussions. They did a disservice to Pepper Potts.
Yeah.
And I think I said this in a couple when we were talking like Disney live action or something. I was like, if you're doing things that are cool, that's awesome. And I think we need awesome female superhero moments.
Absolutely.
But when you do it like this, it felt, as a woman, it felt like pandering. It's like, hey girls, look what we did for you. So, I mean, that is awesome that a lot of girls said they loved this moment. Because it's a very epic moment. But it felt like pandering to me.
And some of them have been very strong characters and they could carry an action scene just fine. But like... purposefully showing them all together like that.
And the line is like, you can't do it alone. And they're like, she's not alone. Like, there's all these other girls. And I'm like, okay. First of all, on one hand, I'm like, yay. And on the other hand, I was like, really? It was just
on this side of cheesy. But
because they
like,
made no
whatever.
Sense to be all together.
Yeah.
That was literally the only problem I had with it. You want to talk about a girl moment? I swear it's not just because I'm obsessed with Wanda Maximoff. But she sees Thanos, and that's the moment where she's like, you took everything. And he's like, I don't even know who you are. Well, you will.
Mm-hmm.
Again, she almost defeats him by herself.
Yeah.
And he's kicked everyone else's butt. And she's like, okay, well, that's cool. I'll just like...
Yeah, basically blows up his own army
to save his butt. As mm-hmm. He just rains fire mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Like, literally, to save his butt from her, that is a kick-ass female moment mm-hmm. that makes sense with the character and it makes sense with the context. And she's pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to make you pay. And does. And then, of course, Tony Stark is able to... there's the wrestling match with the gauntlet and everyone. And mm-hmm. everyone basically takes turns having it.
Kind of Scooby-Doo-ish, actually.
It is kind of Scooby-Doo-ish, actually. So Danvers destroys... Well, Captain Marvel destroys the warship. Thanos takes back the gauntlet. But Tony is able to take the stones.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses them to destroy Thanos and his armies, sacrificing himself in the process. When they were discussing it, there was no way Tony was going to be able to wield these stones. Like, he knows what's happening when he holds these.
Oh, yeah.
So he does this. He destroys himself. He sacrifices himself in the process of destroying Thanos and everyone else. And then, of course, you have that I love you 3000 moment. He does get to say goodbye to Pepper Potts and everyone else.
He doesn't actually say goodbye.
Doesn't he?
No, he kind of he. She gets to say goodbye to him, but he doesn't say anything. His last words are
"I am Iron Man."
Yeah,
and there's a lot of a big story about that because, of course, Thanos' whole thing was like, "I am inevitable," so he says it again, and he says, "Yeah, well, I am Iron Man," mm-hmm. which was, of course, his first line in that first movie. So that was quite a callback there as well.
An excellent callback, and that wasn't in the original script.
No, they had something else, or they...
Yeah, I don't know.
And they didn't know what to do, and then someone said, well, that was the moment in the first Iron Man movie.
I believe, now, this isn't... I don't have any source on this, but I believe it was Robert Downey Jr.'s idea to say, I am Iron Man again, which is just great
Robert Downey Jr. has put in some crazy lines to mm-hmm. these movies. So just to finish this one up, Thor appoints Valkyrie, leader of the Asgardians, which is fantastic choice there, because of course I love her. Rogers returns the stones and Mjolnir to different timelines. He stays to live in the past with Peggy Carter. Elderly Rogers in person passes the shield and his name.
Joe Biden?
Yep. to Sam Wilson, which of course leads us into Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which we're going to be starting here in like a couple weeks.
I'm excited.
It's going to be fun. And then of course you also, on a much sadder note before that, you have Stark's funeral. So the initial thing just said, this is exciting, it was entertaining, it was emotionally available. It was, and then it said, big budget action filmmaking doesn't get much better than this, was like the big headline.
Okay, so for me, it's not as good as Infinity War.
A lot of critics thought it was better.
I disagree with them.
I disagree as well.
Infinity War is like, might be up there with my favorite movies.
We talked about Infinity War for probably 45
yes,
minutes.
Yes, I realize that.
So that's what I'm saying.
Have fun editing.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying. Clearly, we care about this movie because we've talked about it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Infinity War, I think, holds the record for most times I've seen a movie in theaters. Mm. With maybe Force Awakens being like right up there.
Yeah.
It's one of those two. Yeah. So it's still, both recent ones, hey?
Still Jurassic Park for me, but...
Yeah, well, that was one of those. Okay, so before we start talking about this, like, which is better and which is not.
Mm.
Spider-Man Far From Home comes out.
Yeah, and so this is the kind of like the denouement
of
Phase 3. You're dealing with the fallout of Iron Man sacrificing himself and the fallout of the blip, mm-hmm. as they call it.
While they're trying to do this like lighthearted school kid romp.
Yeah, and I actually liked it so much more than I was expecting.
Yeah, so okay, to be fair, we watch this movie when Spider-Man decides Peter Parker decides he's going to leave the Spider-Man name back at home for like a week or two for him to go on a school trip to Europe with his friends. We saw it like the day before, like a week before we went to Europe.
Yeah, a week before we went on our big Europe trip.
Where
last
we went
summer.
To a lot of these same places.
We literally like followed in the footsteps mm-hmm. of his tour almost.
Yeah,
and it was just like a weird coincidence. So,
there was also that.
It was actually a lot of fun that way.
It was super fun, yeah. Basically, his whole thing is he just wants to be a kid. I mean, he's dealing with the fallout of all this. Nick Fury shows up, gets to him to help with several elemental creature attacks, and then there's the whole Quentin Beck thing. This is super fun. It takes place shortly after events. There's great chemistry. There's great acting. Generally, positive reviews came up for this one. But what I really liked about it, it references the results from The Blip.
The Blip.
The Blip. They make jokes about kids from junior high now being older.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is crazy. So-and-so's little brother was like in grade 7 and now he's graduating.
Yeah, of course. Because people who didn't get snapped and dusted didn't.
Yeah.
They aged 5 years and the people that did.
And they still like went on with lives. They went to school.
They came back as they were.
So these, luckily his best friend and girl... And the girl he's interested in, MJ, they all got dusted. I should say luckily just so they're all together, basically. So they're all still going to grade 12 or 11 or whatever it is. But they're there now with kids that were like in junior high at the time. So they're just kind of making jokes about it. It's dealt with for more comic effect in this one. I find that when they address it again later on, like WandaVision, it's done more not so funnily. But we'll talk about that.
Yes.
Mostly done for comic effect about those 5 years and things like that. But there is like a little bit of awkwardness to it.
But it's like... seeing how high school kids dealt with it,
yeah,
and they would deal with it with humor, like
they'd be like, "Oh man, that's weird," and so on. Basically, there's also an emotional response from Peter Parker in terms of the loss of Tony Stark. We know he's a father figure to him, and there's also
he didn't have an Uncle Ben. I mean, he did, but it's not in this version.
Yeah,
so this is his Uncle Ben now.
Yeah. So there's he's dealing with the sadness of missing him, but there also seems to be some pressure on Spider-Man to be the next Iron Man.
Right.
Right? And so he's seeing that at the same time while he's dealing with this like emotional trauma. Just like, you know what? I just kind of want to be a high school kid for a mm-hmm. little bit. He has a thing for MJ he wants to explore. Things are not going well. So you have this whole maybe he should give it up and let this other guy be the new leader. It doesn't go well.
Right. And so I read something once, and it was with specific to Spider-Man in general, and it's when Spider-Man wins, Peter Parker loses.
Whoa, interesting.
And I think you see that every time in every Spider-Man.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. That's really media, good.
Like, because he can't be Spider-Man when he has all these people that are close to him to protect at the same time.
That's his whole thing.
Yeah, and he can't be in two places at once, kind of thing. Like it's tough.
We see that again and again. Yeah. He's one of the ones that doesn't, you know, mm-hmm. doesn't embody his superhero persona 24/7, right? Right.
He's got all this other stuff going on all the time.
So then at the end, when you have good old Jameson there, who is going, who he says flat out who he is, this is his name, and then that's the end of it. That's a big deal.
This might be my favorite post-credit scene.
Okay, that's fair. That was ever. Really cool. First of all, Jameson is just hilarious. And that was crazy. That was one that was like, oh, what?
Well, because, of course, he played Joe Jane Jameson in the Tobey Maguire.
Yes, he did.
Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Yep. So to have him back in this different version of it was super meta and amazing.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Basic reviews of this were positive. They said it was fun. It was lighter. It was, again, a palate cleanser. And that it was, you know, it was a solid transition from Phase 3 to the future. It's not, you know, level of Endgame here, but it's not supposed to be level of Endgame.
Like I say, denouement.
Yeah. So that is our last one of Phase 3. Now, my question to you is, typically when we do this, we pick our favorite and our least favorite. Go for it.
Oh, it's Infinity War.
Yeah, it's Infinity War for me, too.
I will never forget that first time we saw it.
Yeah, that was a huge thing. Mm-hmm. That was an experience going to see that. And it didn't, of course, hurt that we were at, like you said, a local comic convention, and it was, you know,
the Saturday of the comic convention, and the theater, the IMAX theater that we saw it in, was filled with comic book 100%. But
so you had that energy and stuff like that, and yeah, that was such an experience.
You had that energy, and then all of a sudden it was.
But that's why it was so effective. I cry at a lot of movies. I can't say I've never cried at, you know, action superhero movies, but like this was crazy. I agree. It's my favorite one.
Mm.
It's my favorite one. I loved Endgame. Do not get me wrong. But, like, the devastation. And, you know, you still have some light moments and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Like,
it was solid. It was
the
really
interaction
good.
Between Thor and the Guardians is just fantastic. Hilarious.
Spider-Man. So I saw this really old movie where I'm like, he needs to stop talking.
So good.
Yeah. It was, there were some really light ones.
Is that your favorite
as well? My favorite as well. Okay. Yeah. So my least favorite. I love this movie, but it's just like, look at the ones it's up against.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned before, it's an origin film.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It was fun. It was fantastic. I just, at this point, I was in such a high, like, emotional state from Infinity War, and I already had a connection to Ant-Man and the Wasp, which came up before that. I had no connection to Captain Marvel, and I think at this point in the game, I was like, I don't need a new character to be, like, fixated on.
Yeah. It was a by-the-book origin story, and it did Journeyman's work on that, and
totally.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It was super fun. I really liked all the 90s stuff. I really liked the cat, right? And Nick Fury and everything like
young,
that. I liked
young Nick
bit.
Fury was great, and yeah. I like Brie Larson.
I love Brie Larson, yeah. She's true. She did a great job. Yeah. It was super fun. I wasn't as into it as Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Spider-Man Homecoming surprised me more. Like, that would probably be my second.
It's one of the better origin story movies
it's just
the MCU. But
when we're talking,
like,
least favorite against these ones, that's all.
Yeah,
that's totally it.
Oh, man, MCU is awesome. And
MCU is awesome.
And I really can't wait to see what they keep doing.
I know.
Like, it's just
getting
bigger.
Well, what do we have
in
Phase 4 so far? WandaVision, and now we're going into Falcon and Winter Soldier. They've had one thing in Phase 4 and knocked it out of the park. We're going to talk about that next week.
We are.
Yeah. Before we get to next week and all that fun stuff, we've got some trivia to talk about.
Okay, so last week I asked you some Marvel questions.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was, I wanted to know what specialist Doctor Strange was before he became a magician.
I don't think it's right, but I'm going to say brain surgeon.
I'm going to give you this one.
Okay.
You said brain surgeon, which is like the layman's way of saying neurosurgeon.
Well, yes.
He's a neurosurgeon.
Yeah, okay.
He's a brain surgeon. Yeah, so yeah, good job. And then next, I asked you what three Oscars Black Panther won.
This was hard.
This was super hard, and you were super confident about one of them, but this is what you ended up saying.
I'm going to say sound editing and sound mixing.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the costume design. I'm like quite certain about the costume design.
Yes. Costumes, absolutely. Good job. But it was the original score.
Which, I mean, cool. That surprised me.
And production design, which makes sense. Like,
totally makes sense. Wakanda's insane.
Has a lot of good production design.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of annoyed at myself for not thinking of that. I was just really fixated on the sound.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough one. No. Then I asked you, what song did the Guardians of the Galaxy dance off to?
This frustrated me so much. Yep.
Not on the tip of your tongue.
It's not on the tip of my tongue. Ooh, child.
Yes.
Things are gonna get easier. It's like the theme of 2020-21. Things are gonna get easier.
Yes. Ooh, child was the thing.
And,
And Peter.
Not what I said, though.
No, not what you said, no. Close, but no cigar. Not even close, no.
No.
Okay, so I felt bad.
Yeah.
I felt bad for you, and I gave you an easy one.
Yeah.
And I asked you, what job did Ant-Man work at, straight out of prison, Scott Lang?
Mm-hmm.
And you said...
Baskin-Robbins.
Absolutely right. Baskin-Robbins always finds out.
Yes, Baskin-Robbins does always find out.
Good job.
That's not bad.
I think that was pretty good.
That was reasonable.
Pretty good.
That was
now
good.
I'm scared of what you're going to ask
okay,
me.
Okay, three questions. First one.
Okay.
We're talking Marvel. We're talking specifically these movies from Marvel.
These movies.
Yeah. What was the last movie Stan Lee made a cameo in?
Captain Marvel.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
I'm trying to think of the one that they had, because they had Stan Lee in the Marvel logo at the beginning as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
Okay. Endgame. Who was the only one of the actors who read the entire script? Got to read the entire script for this.
Oh, this was Benedict Cumberbatch, because it was important to his character to know everything, because he goes through all the variables, and also he had to control Tom Holland on the press circuit. So, yes, it was Benedict Cumberbatch. Final answer.
Okay. For Infinity War, last question.
Hmm.
Who was famously given a completely fake script?
Probably Tom Holland, because he's terrible for spoilers. They even make fun of it in the announcement trailer for No Way Home when they're announcing the title for No Way Home. And like the director gives him a fake title again, because they had this whole thing on Instagram. And he's like, oh man, he gave me a fake title again. And then his co-stars are like, yeah, but you're like known for spoilers, dude.
I like how they always pair Benedict Cumberbatch and Tom Holland together. Someone will ask something and Benedict Cumberbatch will be like, actually, I'll take this one.
I'll take this one.
And he's so British about
it. He's so British, yes.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Yep, good. I have a little one extra bonus one for you.
Oh, a bonus one.
Very famous line. One of Robert Downey Jr.'s lines from Endgame. He came up with it based on something that his kids said to him.
Yeah, that's I Love You 3000.
Yeah, which... I'm just giving that yes. Yeah. that's a yes.
Which is
but
adorable.
I just really wanted everyone to know that that's where that line came from. Because that's adorable.
It is adorable. And everyone loves that. So.
Yeah, it's so cute. And I just really love the fact that that is actually his kid's thing. So I just made sure everyone knew that. So if you have any ideas about our trivia, or to vote on our March Madness theme this week, or to tell us if we should watch Ray and the Last Dragon, or to suggest your own trivia, contact us on our social media.
And that's our show for today. Thanks to El Mule, who is responsible for our awesome custom theme song that you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. Mm-hmm. And you can also find us on social media. Our Instagram account is @DisneyAPodcast. Facebook @DisneyA and Twitter @DisneyAPodcast. You can find Disney A episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcast, Amazon Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more. Please take the time to review our podcast and subscribe. If you know someone else who might like this podcast, please be sure to recommend. You can also listen to Disney A episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio on Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, with replays at Wednesday and Friday, also at 4. You can listen to the Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, Radio Garden, and other radio station apps. And join us next week when we talk all about WandaVision.
That's why I'm saying March is the month of Marvel within the year of Marvel, because we've got three Marvel conversations.
Three Marvel.
In a row.
We're loading up on Marvel, but we are. I mean, there's so much Marvel.
So much Marvel. Well, now we're done with the MCU to date.
Yes.
So we're talking WandaVision, and oh my goodness. So you have a week to get caught up with WandaVision. We have a week to rewatch binge WandaVision.
Yeah, we're going to watch it for the second time. So you have time to watch it for the first time.
Exactly.
If you haven't seen it yet.
Exactly.
You should.
Totally.
Yeah, and talking about our feelings and things like that.
I have so many feelings about
Maybe
this.
Maybe sing a song or two. I don't know.
Probably. All along, maybe. I don't know.
So until then, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney AM.
Mm-hmm.
That is America's ass.
That is America's ass.